to have the cartilage in the man's throat, crunching between his fingers.
The ladies are Miss Roth and Dr. Wyeth.
Huh. Doctor.
Right. And the old one's called Doc Tanner. Kid's name is Dean, son of Ryan Carter. Other one's J.B. Dix. Heard of him, Adam?
No. Well, I might have heard the name Ryan Carter someplace, sometime. He brushed a few flies from around the frontier pest hall, up in the darks. Is that it?
Something like that. Yeah, strangling would be good. Or maybe to press the muzzle of the Sig Sauer into Traven's prissy mouth, hard enough to splinter his front teeth, and hard enough for the Foresight to draw blood from his lips. And then watch the arrogant bastard's eyes go blank and scared.
Where'd they come from?
We
come from all over.
Staying long, Carter? Niceville. Look around. Take the kid on the rides. Baron Boss Larry will show you around. Won't you, Boss Larry?
Oh, sure, I'd be glad to do that.
The man spun around, as delicate as a dancer, the lights shimmering off the shards of mirror on his jacket.
There, happiness on every hand. I'll go back to my posse.
Boss Larry pulled his two silent supporters forward a few stumbling steps.
Adam?
What is it, Lord Ash?
You know.
I do? Oh, sure I do. You want me to fix up a little of this and a little of that, don't you?
Larry Zapp's face split into a sunny beam.
Well, that'd be real good, Adam. Thanks a lot.
Ryan was standing beside Kelly, the sec man, and heard the faint, hissed intake of breath. He glanced sideways, but the man's face was completely blank. Traven stopped his spinning dervish dance and stared intently at Ryan.
Yes. I've heard of you. I hear the flowers die as you pass by. Old women moan and little children weep. Your breath is ice and your piss is acid steam.
I'd say that was all bullshit.
You would, huh? Just so you don't stay here too long, Outlander. Boss Larry has his own path to walk.
He rocked back on his high-heeled boots and strode toward the elevators. He left behind him a lake of discomfort. Dean, finally sheathing his knife, went to stand beside his father and looked up into his face.
All right?
Sure, boy.
Boss Larry had slapped his two servants again, steering them toward his reinforced chair.
Kelly, why didn't he speak to them?
No point. Deaf and mute. That way they can't betray his secrets. Probably have had them blinded if he could have.
Take them and feed them and find them rooms.
Zapp sank back into a seat.
And tell me when you've done it. Maybe I'll see them later and show them around the rides.
Zapp pushed himself petulantly in the revolving chair so that he was once more staring out across the Florida swamps. Kelly gestured to the six companions with a blaster.
Time to go, people.
You don't need that, do you?
What? My 45? Suppose not, lady. I mean, doctor. No.
So, would it be within the realms of the most distant possibility that we might be allowed to retrieve our own firearms? It would really be most awfully kind of you.
Sure. Sucking death, why not? Why should I care when Adam's posse runs this vill? Help yourselves, people.
Thanks, but who is...
Best thing to do with your lips, Ryan, is to keep them sealed tighter than a duck's ass. That way you can pass a day or two here and have some pleasure, and move on, all alive and well.
Still a lot of questions hanging in the air.
They filed out to the central section of the tower, where the elevator door stood open, and SecMen waited in front of each one.
Same answer to most, and you just met him.
Not far from Center Point, they were taken to what had once been a large hostelry, called the Gator Motel. It had been cruciform in shape, with its lobby at the midpoint of the four arms. But there had been a fire long years ago, which had destroyed three-quarters of the building. Now, only the Gator Wing remained.
How many rooms you want? 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1, makes no difference to me.
Ryan glanced at the others. Mildred took an almost imperceptible half-step closer to J.B., Dean looked at his father.
One single room for Doc, double for J.B. and Mildred, double for me and Christy, and, and a single adjoining for my son.
Done. There'll be some of my men around the gator all the time, best you don't wander. Might run into some of the posse. Once Boss Larry's had his happy fix, he might call around and you can go on the ride. Until then, stay here.
Christy stretched out on the queen-sized bed, staring at the star-painted ceiling.
Been in worse prisons.
Ryan had washed his face and shaved, using the disposable razor that was in a plastic mug at the side of the basin. The water was hot and only faintly tinted. He'd read that water in the old pre-nuke days had been as clear in the center of Big Vills as it was in a mountaintop stream.
I'll get it.
Christy swung off the bed and opened the door. The boy had also washed and had gelled his hair to his scalp, making him look older and oddly sinister. Ryan went over and patted his son on the shoulder, hesitating a moment.
Phew, fire blast. What's that smell?
Dean blushed.
Called Prince Mayakovsky Splash On. Said on the bottle to use plenty, so I did. Is it awful, Dad? What do you think, Christy?
Oh, I think maybe I'd use a tad less next time. But it'll wear off fast. Hungry, Dean?
Sure. Time for second food?
Ryan glanced at his cron.
Yeah, I'll load her up for us.
Dad, can I ask a question? I know you think I ask too many.
Long as it's the right time, I don't mind. What is it?
The Baron. All around her, signs of triple power. Jack and Sekhmen.
Right.
The guy, Adam Traven? How come he orders Boss Larry around like he does? Got him running scared.
Ryan finished wiping his face on the fluffy white towel.
Yeah, that's a good question, son. Maybe we'll find an answer. Until we do, who knows?
A brief, flurried thunderstorm had blown in from the east while the companions were eating. Dean had dropped his paper plate of fried chicken and run to the smeared window. He pressed his face against the glass, watching the blinding daggers of lightning as they tore open the slate-gray clouds, bringing a burst of torrential rain that laid the dust and cleared away the stifling humidity. JB and Mildred had come in during the storm, followed shortly after by Doc Tanner. The old man had been drinking brandy, supplied by the Sekhmen, and was in an unusually expansive mood.
The pounding of the hammer of Thor upon the anvil of someone or other, whose name I have conveniently forgotten. I remember a particularly bitter attack of sheet lightning in the fall of 1895. We had been traversing a bare mountainside on our way to Hidden Lake up in Montana. The very rocks sang with the concatenation of thunder and lightning. The ozone in the air made one's poor addled brain spin.
Dean looked at Doc, puzzled.
You said 18, Doc.
What was that, my fine young comrade?
You said you saw a storm in 1895, Doc. How can that be?
The tale is long, my boy. If you care to come to my room, I shall have another sip of that rather good cognac, and I will reveal to you the mystery of my own being. Come.
The old scholar stood, making an imperious gesture. Dean glanced at Ryan, who nodded his approval.
Sure, son. Don't worry. We won't go off anywhere without you.
Okay, thanks.
The boy went out with Doc. The door hadn't closed properly, and Christy moved toward it, hesitating a moment.
Someone coming.
It was Kelly. The non-com glanced around the room, seeing the remains of their meal.
Is everyone eaten?
Sure, thanks.
The Sekhmen had a sprinkling of rain across his shoulders, damping his short-cropped hair.
Hell of a storm out there.
We saw it.
Pass the old man and your boy along the passage. Once Boss Larry gives the word, you can take him on some of the rides. Be a double buzz.
When?
Traven wants you all out of here. Doesn't like any other outlander stepping on his turf. His turf. So take what comes, Ryan, and then move on.
Got no reason to stay.
JB had been field stripping his new scattergun, checking it for any signs of damp. He looked up at Kelly.
Want to tell us what's going down here?
The man glanced at the door, and then went to lean against it. He looked at the curtains hanging over the picture window. He moved to stand by it, staring out across the misty field of green.
Don't know why I should trust you people any more than Adam's posse.
We're not evil. They are.
Right. Could be that's the up and down of it. Used to be a hell of a good Ville once.
Kelly then launched into the story of the Garden of Eden.